Good morning. Welcome back to Christian Life Academy. We are finishing up the chapter on marriage, chapter 25 of marriage. And there's four paragraphs to the chapter. We have covered the first three. The fourth one is the natural restriction. So third and the fourth paragraphs of marriage in the confession deal with restrictions on marriage, like what are the restrictions? The general rule is liberty. You can marry. General rule. A little more specific in there was, that we already talked about, was it has to be your decision to get married. You can't be forced. That's not biblical. And you have to be able to make that decision. So it can't be somebody who is so mentally infirm that they're unable to actually know what they're doing. You can't say, well, it'll be good for them, so we'll just have them married. Well, the scriptures say no, that's not the case. So the confession actually states that. Then the two specific restrictions are covered. The last time we met, we talked about the first restriction, which was the Christian restriction, which is that if you're a believer, you may not be married to an unbeliever. Now, that is that you may not enter into marriage with an unbeliever. Not that if you're married and you become a believer, then you should divorce. No. In fact, the scriptures teach the opposite of that. That you could be the one who actually helps bring that person to the Lord. So you should not divorce them in that case. It's about entering into a relationship and being unequally yoked. So we actually covered that last time. And so today we cover the second restriction, which is the natural restriction. And this is pretty obvious to us in our culture today. Has not been obvious to everyone in every culture through all time, but we'll work through it and talk about it. This is a fairly short process here. Marriage ought, and that's paragraph four, marriage ought not to be within the degrees of consanguinity or affinity forbidden in the Word. Nor can such incestuous marriages ever be made lawful by any law of man or consent of parties, so as those persons may live together as man and wife. So just in general, you can see what we're talking about here. Incest. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the relationship of close people that are closely related and the prohibition on them getting married. The scripture is very clear about what counts as incest and what does not count. We're going to look at the passage and see it specifically in a minute. But that's what this is talking about. And it's clear, just to make it clear, let's make sure we understand. This should kind of go without saying, especially when we're in chapter 25 of the confession, we've been working through this thing, that man can't make a law to get around it. Are you with me on this? So if God says this is the restrictions, man can't say, well, you know what, we'll just make this law so they don't have to be married, they can just live together. Are you with me on that? And we're going to get around the law against incest by doing that. No, you can't do that. That's what they're saying in the confession. All right, so obviously, we just said this right here. Marriage may not be between two parties that the scripture forbids, clearly. However, there are degrees of consanguinity or affinity where the scriptures specify restrictions. So, you've probably been wondering, since I read it a second ago, what's the difference between consanguinity and affinity? So, consanguinity is a blood relationship. It's a blood relationship. Affinity refers to the relationship by marriage. Okay? Does that make sense? So your brother-in-law, who you married his sister, is not a relationship of consanguinity. It's a relationship of affinity. Are you with me on this? Why? Because you married and now he's your brother-in-law, through marriage. Right? That's the difference. So it's pointing out, the confession is pointing out that there are degrees. Now why do we say that? Well, okay, so let's think really, really broad, and then we can narrow it down. We're all related. Through Noah, through Adam, right? We're all related. So if you say, well, nobody can marry anybody they're related to, end of the race, end of the species. We're done. The human race is over. You can't do that. There's a degree, right? There's a degree. Now you say, well, okay, well, that makes sense. So you can't marry your sister. Okay. What about your stepsister? So now we're talking about a degree of consanguinity. You see what I mean? And a degree of affinity, depending on how she's your stepsister. All right. Leviticus 18 is the clear and full passage, which we're going to look at in a second. So if you want to start turning there, you can. Leviticus 18 is the clear and full passage of the Scripture, for who may or may not, and we're actually going to look at it after all my bullet points here. We're pretty close. Who may or may not be married due to family relationships. So, I'm going to give you the cliff note. In short, anyone closer than a first cousin may not be married. God does not forbid marrying first cousins or those further removed. Okay? That's what the Scripture says. Now, our society, by the way, the state of Michigan particularly, in this case, because this is a state issue, not a federal issue, is a little more restriction than that. So in the state of Michigan, you may not marry your first cousin. That's not what the Scriptures say. But you are allowed, according to the Scripture, but the state says you can't. You can marry a second cousin in the state of Michigan. That's permitted. Are you with me on this? So the state of Michigan laws are not superseding. In other words, they are not saying that something God says is unlawful is lawful. Are you with me on that? Are you with me? They're actually restricting it further than it needs to be restricted. Now, again, I don't think that's the hill to die on. Yeah, I think everyone should have the right to marry their first cousins, and I'm going to go to jail to prove it. Probably that's not the big one. Anyway, these laws are not part of the ceremonial law. They're not part of the ceremonial law. Leviticus 18:24-30, we see God's judgment on the Gentile nations for violating these laws. The ceremonial law applied to which nation? Israel. It didn't apply to the Gentile nations. So this was not part of that. We see God talking about in this passage, when we get to it, you'll see, he refers to that other nations have been punished because they violated this law on who can marry who. Now that's a really clear indicator that this is not part of the law that was only for the nation of Israel. We also, by the way, see their validity recognized and reinforced in the New Testament. There's some key passages there, and we're going to talk about that in a second, where we see Paul writing to a church who says, hey, you're allowing this marital relationship to happen in your church. Why are you allowing this? It's sin. What is he talking about? He's talking about the restrictions that were imposed in Leviticus, and they're allowing it in Corinth. Okay, the issues of the first generations of man intermarrying. So here comes the big question, right? Well, yeah, but what about who married Seth? Right, the age-old question. What about that? The issues of first generations of man intermarrying, even through Abraham, who married his sister, are clearly prior to God's law and before the genetic problems associated with the fall of man had their full impact. God's laws are for our benefit as well as in accordance with his righteousness. You understand the concept there? In other words, God's laws are not just because he says, well, I'm going to throw a curveball to them and see if they can obey me. No, they're for our good too. Right? We should be comfortable that we don't have to be afraid every time we turn our back on someone because they're going to murder us. Right? So, God says, thou shalt not murder. Good. Right? Good. That's for our benefit. All right. So let's look at a few passages. First, turn to Leviticus 18 if you haven't already. Leviticus 18, and we're going to read verses 6 through 18. Then I'll read a couple verses to you, one from Mark and one from 1 Corinthians 5. All right, so like I said, this is the go-to passage. So you'll see that what it's going to refer to here over and over and over and over and over and over and over again is uncovering their nakedness. This is talking about the marital relationship. The physical union. That's what this is talking about. So, here we go. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. So, none of you shall marry someone who's a near kin to you because I'm the Lord. Okay, Lord, but we'll make some rules up on this. No. He continues. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. So, what's that say? Can't marry a parent. 8. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. So what if your father marries someone who's not your mother? Can't marry her. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover. You can't marry a sister. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter. Even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. You can't marry grandkids. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. You can't marry a half-sister. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. That's an aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. That's an aunt on your mother's side. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. It's right there. Can't marry an uncle, can't marry an aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. So your son dies, you can't marry his wife. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Your brother dies. Can't marry your wife. Well, we'll get a little clearer on this. We're going to see that in a second. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Now, this is talking about if you're marrying more than one. You cannot marry a mother and a daughter. You cannot marry a mother and a grandchild. Are you with me on this? 18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. So you can't also take on a second wife that is your wife's sister. Why? To vex her. You can't know why it's going to make her upset. That's why. To uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime. So that prohibition has a time period. Your wife passes away, you may marry her sister. You just can't do it during her lifetime. You see this? Now, would this apply also to divorce situations? It would. It would. Let's look at two passages in the New Testament. Mark 6:18. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Herod had taken to him his brother's wife. His brother was still alive. What is John enforcing? Leviticus. Leviticus. 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So what happened here? A son had married his mother. And in the church. And the church was permitting it. And he said, what are you doing? It's not lawful. These two references in the New Testament are reinforcing what we saw in the Old Testament. So in other words, we can't say that somehow this was Old Testament, it was given to Israel, so it only counts for Israel. It doesn't only count for Israel. It still counts for us today. Most of us, this isn't a problem anymore. For some, that's still something for them to be aware of. But at any rate, this is the last prohibition on marriage that's mentioned in this particular chapter. Thus ends the chapter of marriage.